Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
America's crew chief, Mr. Larry McReynolds, NASCAR analyst for TNT. Now you guys will be doing the Altcast this weekend, which I think is awesome. I think we just got done talking about streaming platforms a little bit, Larry. I'll bring you in on this note. So stoked about what happened with Amazon Prime and obviously now handing it over to TNT. It's got to be a lot of fun. Tell us a little bit about the Altcast that you guys will be doing this weekend before we go down memory lane with you, obviously.
Well, first and foremost, thanks for having me.
Yes,
thanks
sir.
For bringing it back from commercial break with a little AC/DC.
That's right.
That's one of my favorite groups. But, yeah, you know, I've been with NASCAR on Fox for 25 years. Next year I'll be 26. We'll, of course, be back down here at Echo Park Speedway for the first race of the year, normally the second race of the season. But to be back with the Turner folks, I worked with them from 8 years, from 2007 to 2014 when they were last in NASCAR, and they had that six-race summer series. And now they're back with these five races. And they're going to cover the next 5 weeks starting here at Echo Park Speedway all the way through the Brickyard at Indy. But they decided to do something a little different, try something different, something that's not been done in NASCAR. Jeff Burton and myself, we're going to be doing an Altcast. And it's a lot like the Manning Altcast for Monday Night Football. We're going to be in the Turner True TV studios in Uptown Atlanta. And we're just going to have fun. You know, the timing is really good, and again, we'll be on at the same time as the race broadcast, but we'll be on True TV. But the timing is really good because of this in-season challenge.
Yes, sir.
That's what's going to be a big focus of ours on this Altcast. Of course, starts right here tomorrow night with 32 teams, 16 matchups, and it's single elimination, bracket style. And by the time we get to Indy, the Brickyard 400, it'll be one driver and one team versus another driver and a team. And if you win, it's $1 million. If you lose, you get a participation trophy.
I'm glad you brought this up because we've had, obviously, the pleasure of having a couple drivers on over the last couple of weeks just building up to this race. And we, you know, I think everybody heard from Chase Elliott, which is he's obviously very popular here in the state of Georgia, that he wasn't that focused on the bracket challenge. It's one of those things. He's like, I can't try any harder to win a race. And then we talked to Chase Briscoe just a couple of days ago, and he kind of laughed at it. He goes, man, as soon as the race was over that decided the seeding, I was like, I want to know exactly who I'm matched up against, not only in round one, but throughout all five rounds. Who would I be matched up against? Obviously, you've been in the chair as a crew chief for a number of races and obviously dealt with a number of situations. Nothing quite like this, I don't think. As a crew chief, do you think you would put any focus on the in-season challenge? Would you say, hey, just so you know, Allmendinger is five spots back. That's who you're matched up with this week.
Yeah, I actually talked to James Small, Chase Briscoe's crew
yes,
chief,
sir.
This week about that very thing. And he said, you know, if we do our job and we win the race, it kind of takes care of itself. But he said, yeah, if we get in the late stages of this race here Saturday night at Echo Park Speedway and – the guy we're up against is like four car lengths in front or four car lengths behind. I'm going to make Chase aware of it.
That's awesome.
I heard Joey Logano this morning on an interview, and he made some interesting comments about it. He said, we can't take our eye off the big ball. The big ball is trying to win the race, trying to score more playoff points, trying to get higher in the regular season. But he said, if it's late in the race and we have a late race caution, it could affect – Paul Wolf, his crew chief strategy. He said it might affect what lane I choose, depending
wow.
on how close the guy I'm racing against is. So it's on their mind.
That. That's awesome.
If they tell you it's not on their mind, it's a flipping
$1 million. That's what Chase Briscoe
it's
said.
On their mind.
Chase Briscoe said the same
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, Ross Chastain was pretty stern in that, too. Like, you know, you know things that are going on. Larry McReynolds joining us here on the morning shift. I got some questions about the good old days for you. But first, this
just
track,
for the record, I never worked on a car that ran on the beach. I hadn't been there that long.
I know. I really want to talk about the change in this track here at Echo Park Speedway because it used to be the typical mile and a half. It was super fast. I remember it was one of the fastest tracks on the Speedway. Now it's still fast, but it's just the pack racing has brought it back. But if you – a lot of the drivers talk about the handling still being a real thing here.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be a big factor tomorrow night. Even though it's a night race, it's still going to be warm. The track temperature is going to be up. And when we first came here in 2022 for the reconfiguration of the brand new asphalt, place had so much grip. I never even heard the word handling. And it was almost the case when we came back for the second race in the summertime. But it's almost like year two and last year, you started hearing more and more about it. And I go back to February. We saw a lot of comers and goers when the race started. Remember, we don't have any practice here. They unload them. They go through inspection. They drop the hammer and qualify them this afternoon, and they race tomorrow night. There's no practice. And if you go back to February, Fords dominated qualifying. 9 of the top 10 was Fords. Fords combined led almost 200 laps. But when it got down to the end and things started really ramping up, they got in trouble because their cars wasn't handling as good. They had speed built in the cars. And there was only one Ford that finished inside the top 10, and that was Ryan Blaney. So I would be willing to bet that the philosophy and the approach is going to be a little different, because you never want to give up speed, but you don't want to give up handling either. And the speed is on the straightaways and the handling's in the corner. And I think everybody knows now, year four, the eighth race on this new configuration in this asphalt, that probably the driver that goes to victory lane tomorrow night, he's going to say, my car drove good all night long.
You know, I think we all grew up NASCAR fans, grew up with a driver. So I grew up in that three car, right, was the car. And so then I went on to the 8 and the 88. But then, you know, Doug over there was a 28 guy. And you worked on both of those crews. You were the crew chief. That was the first time I heard your name, was when you took over for senior as the crew chief. But you worked with Davey Allison as well. What was it worth? Like, what were the differences in how those guys handled things?
Yeah, I mean, both amazing race car drivers. And I feel very blessed and very fortunate to say that I worked with both of them. Feel very blessed and fortunate to be able to say I won a Daytona 500 with each of them. But two completely different individuals. Davey was really smart about his race car. And I think it was a lot because of the way Bobby and Judy Allison raised him. They made him work on his race cars. They made him repair his race cars and build his race cars. And other than maybe engine, Davey knew everything about that race car. He actually made my job pretty easy, because he would tell me what the car was doing, and then he had a pretty good idea of what we needed to address to maybe make it drive a little better or go a little bit faster. Earnhardt could care less. He didn't care if you put the front springs in the rear and the rear springs in the front. Just make me go faster and let's try to win this race. He thought he knew a lot about the race car. He knew enough just to get him in trouble sometimes. So two great race car drivers, two Hall of Famers that I was blessed to work with, but very, very different driving styles and very, very different approaches.
Hanging out with Larry McReynolds, America's crew chief, as he's lovingly known, part of the TNT broadcast that'll start this weekend here at Echo Park Speedway. And I do want to talk a little bit about the history of this racetrack as well. I mean, we all know that, you know, it's been newly dubbed Echo Park Speedway just about a month ago. It was Atlanta Motor Speedway before that, Atlanta International Raceway, I believe, before that. What was your memories here at this track? And obviously, I'm sure you had a ton of them with all the races that have been run and all the ones that you were crew chiefing for, but this is such a unique place, and it has so much history that I think a lot of people in Atlanta love coming down here and love kind of reliving some of those memories.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Yeah, I mean, my first full year in NASCAR was 1981. So obviously we were running here twice a year, and that's when it was the true oval. Right. The back stretch was the front stretch.
Yep. Yep.
It was symmetrical racetrack. Front stretch is now really about where pit road's at. That's where the back stretch was. And of course, in 1997, they flopped it. They kind of gave it that Speedway Motorsports look with the double dog leg on the front straightaway. And you talking about bad fast. When they reconfigured it and they put that new asphalt down, I mean, Jeff Bodine, I think, sat on the pole and he ran around this place absolutely wide open. And as time went along and the racetrack started losing grip, we had some really good races here. And then I think it got so worn out, we wasn't really having good races, but we would mess around and have good finishes.
Right.
And I think that's what finally the conclusion was when Marcus Smith and everybody decided, you know what, heading into 2022, we're going to go out on the thin end of the small branch of the tree. We're going to put the banking just about 2 or 3 degrees less than what Daytona and Talladega is. We're going to put a new surface down on it, and let's see how it is. And I'm telling you, they absolutely, in my book, they knocked it out of the park. Because even here, 4 years into it, I mean, a mile-and-a-half racetrack, when we were here in February, we had 50 lead changes. In a 400-mile race on a mile-and-a-half racetrack, I think in the five or six races that we've run here, seven races now on this configuration, I think we've had a last lap pass either 4 or 5 times for the win. And I mean, that finish February of last year, we'll be talking about that finish for years and years and years to come. Not two drivers, but three sitting there just right on top of each other in a photo finish.
Yeah, I still remember.
We were here.
Yeah. I remember Labonte Earnhardt years ago, that finish. I think it was 2000.
2000, yeah.
And then to your point, just that's exactly what we're going to think about that three wide. I got like 50 questions I want to ask.
I was going to say.
And they're all in the queue. And I don't know where I want to go because I want to ask about, you know, actual racing stuff. I want to ask about the sport. But one thing that I've we had this conversation on our fantasy group chat, and a lot of guys are coming down to this race with us. But the face of NASCAR when Senior passed became Dale Jr. He was kind of thrust into it. And everybody, it felt like the entire world of NASCAR dropped on his shoulders. And look, he got in a couple years and he struggled. He struggled on the track. You heard things on and off the track about how he was acting. But he has wholeheartedly become one of the biggest ambassadors of the sport. Is it surprising for you how he has, his post-racing career is gone?
It truly has. I think even though he was most popular driver year after year after year when he was driving a race car, I think he's putting a much bigger mark on the sport now today. Is owner of Junior Motorsports, is a broadcaster, which he does a phenomenal job. He truly cares about the sport. And, you know, it doesn't matter what Dale Earnhardt Jr. does, he is all in. I mean, we had our first big production call for the races this weekend, and Dale Jr. took control of the call. You know, he started throwing things out there. You know, guys and girls, we need to really think about this. He doesn't just mail this stuff in. I mean, I even go back to the crew chief role he played at Pocono, and oh, by the way, he's batting 1,000 as a crew chief in Xfinity Series for Connor Zilich. I mean, he was all in on that deal.
Yeah.
He walked in that garage area on Friday morning when his guys walked in. He was right there, but that's classic Dale Earnhardt Jr. Whatever he does, he is fully engaged. He is all in, and that's what he's doing, I think, as far as really a great ambassador for our sport right now.
Well, Larry, obviously I speak for Bo when I say we could probably keep you for 2 hours and have these conversations. I can't let you go without giving you a Roll Tide. We are in the state of Georgia, and people aren't going to like it, but I got to give you a Roll Tide. Larry was actually at the national title game where Bo likes – to point out the fact that I was the captain of that team, but not the captain of this show. So,
I don't have a lot that goes on in my life. I have my family, I have God, I have NASCAR, and then I have my Crimson Tide. I'm from Birmingham, Alabama, and we don't have a lot in Alabama.
That's right.
We have Talladega and we have Tuscaloosa. Auburn's close enough to the state line. We just let Georgia claim Auburn. And so when you're born in the state of Alabama, they stamp two things on your birth certificate, male, female, Alabama, Auburn.
That's right.
I got the male. I got the Alabama part, too.
Well, some people in this room are Alabama fans and have Auburn students in their household. I don't want to point people out.
Yeah. We do have to go to break, man. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. It's been such a pleasure. And obviously, we're huge fans, so we look forward to the all-cast.
Really do appreciate it. I know they've got a few tickets left for tomorrow night, but I promise you, come out here to Echo Park Speedway. You will not be disappointed. Maybe you're a brand new fan, a little bit curious. You couldn't pick a better track, a better race to come to than right here tomorrow night. Once again, a mile and a half racetrack, 400 miles. 50 lead changes back in February. Remember, they only monitored at the start-finish
line. Right, I was going to say.
There's no telling how many true lead changes there were.
Yeah. There you have it. America's crew chief, Larry McReynolds, joining us here on the morning shift. It's the Quaker State 400 available at Walmart down here at Echo Park Speedway.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.